In your bulletin, you have something for open house services. Invite somebody. You need to invite them to our new church building. And I encourage you to do that. We're going to have that Sunday, July 9. We're going to be in there next week. By the way, the grass probably won't be planted by the time you get in next week. It probably won't be sprouted. We probably won't have trees up. It's not going to look everything. But that's why July 9 will be an open house. And then August 20, going to be dedication. I believe the mayor is coming. I believe we're having a district official coming. At least that's the plan at this point in time. One of our city council women has said she would come as well. And so I would like for you to be there as well. That's August 20. We'll have one service. That's at 10 a.m. And we're going to have a wonderful dedication of the building. I encourage you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. If you've been at First Wesleyan Church, you know that I've been preaching from Hebrews chapter 11, and we find ourselves at verse 7 today. And I hope that you're encouraged by that. Before I go there, I do want you to know, happy Father's Day. What a great day it is to be a dad, is it not? And several of you are fathers, several of you are not, but what a great day it is. And I just want to thank you for you being a dad. You, I believe, dads set the stage. I believe that they are setting the course, and your influence or lack of influence makes a major difference. Now, I know there are some men that haven't had kids yet, and but you have an impact. I truly believe, this is my firm opinion, males make a solid impact upon this culture. And whether you're a dad or not, you can have a solid impact upon this culture. And I know that also there are some of you that as I share from God's word today and I share about dads, that you didn't have a loving father. And so Father's Day might be tough for you, and I apologize for that. Maybe your dad wasn't around, and there's a number of negative connotations we can go with, but I don't want to do that today. But some of you have a godly example of a father, and what a neat thing that has been. When you have a godly father, you should be thankful for that. And I just want to encourage each of you that we have a heavenly Father that loves you tremendously. If you don't know the Heavenly Father, you need to know the Heavenly Father. He is a Father like none other. He is always there. And sometimes those of us who have had not such good relationships with our dads growing up, it's very difficult for us to make that switch. But when God, you understand Him as a Heavenly Father, there's something different. There's something about God being Lord, but when you understand the Father, man, that's something wonderful. And so if your father is still living, make sure you get in contact with your father today. If your father is not living, you just give praise for your father because of him being in your life in whatever way. And by the way, if you're a man, there is going to be a small treat for you. I think I have like a Reese's or maybe M&M's or some Starburst on the way out this morning. So please grab one of those and enjoy it. But I want to continue today in the faith chapter. We find ourselves today dealing with a guy by the name of Noah. Now, when I say that word Noah, when I give that name of Noah, you immediately think of, I would hope, a big ark, a big building, a big structure that went and floated on the water. And I just, well, why is Noah in the faith chapter? It's always a good question to say, well, why are these guys in this faith chapter? And he did something huge. He did something that no one had ever done before. He was like a trailblazer, if you will, and he built an ark. And so here's one thing I want you to wrestle through, each one of you. I want you to wrestle through this question this morning. What has God been calling you to that not just overnight that he's been calling you to and he's asking for in your life? So there's something that God has been calling you to, just like he called Noah to. He said, I want you to build an ark. And he said, well, that's going to take a little bit of time, and we'll talk about that in a little bit later. What has God been calling you to that is not just a week-long process, but it's actually maybe a lifetime for you? If you would join me in Hebrews chapter 11, there are some neat things in this one verse that I want to share from God's word this morning. It's in the Pew Bible in front of you on 1007 for the page. You can watch up on the screen behind me or you can listen as well. Here's what it says. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. As we've been talking, the first words that you need to know is by faith. What is faith? Faith is, according to this first verse of chapter 11, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. And I want each of us to someday get to exactly the same place of Hebrews chapter 12, where it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that entangles us and the sin that so easily entangles us and run with perseverance the race that's marked in front of us. I want you to get there by faith. It's not by a building, it's not by a pastor, it's by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that Noah, it says this, Noah was warned. Now, obviously, Lauren confessed that he was warned by several that he shouldn't do things that he was doing. Thanks for learning from your warnings. I'm sure your kids never do any of those things that you were not supposed to do. I wonder if you've ever been warned. Each of us have been warned. Some of us have parents that they warned us, and we all had different parents. Some of us had parents that they'd warn us, and they'd warn us, and they'd warn us, and they'd warn us, and they'd never do anything about it. Some of us had parents that didn't even say anything. They just looked at us, and we knew that we needed to not do, or we were in trouble. Some of us say, well, if you don't do that, then they never came through with anything. Who likes warnings? I hope that you like warnings. Some of us have these fancy vehicles now that as you're backing up, some of you have a commercial building, commercial vehicle, and you have that warning sign, beep, 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 as you're backing up. But some of you have this nice little screen that's about right there that when you back up, you never look back anymore. Because you just look on this nice little screen right here and you see where you're backing up. And then if you get really close to something, it's like, boop, 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 or it beeps at you. Or how many of you have a nice little vehicle like that with a little screen? Yeah. Which is difficult because you find yourself not looking back. A couple years ago, I wish I would have had one of those because this yellow thing was back there and, well, my window didn't get scraped off very well. And so. Thank you, Dan Edwards, for helping me with my bumper. Warnings help us. Think of the vision that God gave Noah. He had an unseen behemoth boat he was supposed to make. Here's what I believe. God gives us visions of things unseen. God still does this, and he gave it to Noah. There comes a time when each person must either listen to God's message or disregard it. It may seem like foolishness, but if God is in it, is it foolish? Certainly not. Some of us sometimes get lost in, is it God or not? Noah knew. And let me tell you, Noah built a huge boat. We read this story and we just run past it. Well, Noah built this ark. Oh, that's kind of cool. Watch this video for a moment here and we're going to see how big the ark was.
This is Noah. He's 500 years old. Not bad. He doesn't look a day over 350. One day, God told him it was going to rain. No, not rain. It was going to flood. No, I mean really flood. God told Noah he needed to build something that could rescue his entire family and two of every kind of animal on the earth.
Let me see a football field. Okay, the ark was 1.5 times as long as that football field.
You built that? Not bad. It took Noah and his three sons 100 years to build this boat. It's 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. That's almost 1.5 million cubic feet. That's the capacity of 522 railroad cars.
In the 20s, the Ringling Brothers Circus traveled with their entire operation, which included 335 horses, 26 elephants, and 16 camels, and they traveled in only 92 railroad cars. What I'm trying to say is, that's a big boat. Can you imagine starting with this and trying to get to that? Is it possible that following God means that we pursue crazy big dreams that seem humanly impossible? That maybe you and I are called to do things that everybody else would think is crazy. Things that when we begin, we can't imagine where they ultimately end. We don't have to complete the journey today, but we have to begin to take the first steps, to drive the first nail. We pick up the first board, step out on faith, and we begin to trust God for the rest.
Now, here's one of the things that even this guy, this little video I have, I mean, he had a nice little board, and he probably had he didn't have a hammer, but he had this isn't the nicest of board, but I mean, I want you to think about this for just a moment. You've thought about this before, I'm sure. You've thought about how the fact that Noah just didn't have, like, go down to Menards and say, I'd like the ark plans, can you give me some of that? Because I need some of that. No, he had to make nails. He had to make glue somehow. I don't even know how you do that. He had to, I mean, I have what I think is a pretty nice hammer. Maybe you don't like my hammer, but he had a nice, he had to go make a hammer, and then he had to put all that together. I mean, he had to work that and put that all together. And then some of you in this room, you could do that. Some of you in this room, don't worry about putting an ark together, because you would struggle. You'd be like, nah, how does that go together? But yet, Noah knew how to do that. And God gave him the skill to do that. And he put the ark together. It took 100 years. What big project is God asking you to be a part of? What is he asking you to be a part of? Because here's what I think. I think God gave Noah the skills to build the ark because he could. And I believe that he gives you the skills to do something big in and through your life because of who you are. Some of you are carpenters and you can do something with wood. Again, some of you don't do anything with wood. That's not you. Some of you are great in the office, and some of you cannot, and you have great office capabilities. You know how to run programs, and you know how to do data work, and some of you are like, I don't ever want to sit at a desk. Don't make me do that. God, he prepares us for the tasks that are at hand. What ministry is God moving within your heart that just won't let go? What is the God-sized vision he has given you that others, when they look at you, say, really? Why would you even do that? You say, because there's something burning within me that I've got to do. And this was Noah. And it's not just something that you're going to do to Tuesday. Sometimes we do that as Christians. Well, I surrender all to Jesus, and we say yes on a Sunday, and then by Tuesday it goes away. What has woken you up in the middle of the night recently? And maybe even this last week, you woke up in the middle of the night and something came to your mind. You're like, how did that come to me? Maybe it's God asking you for something big like an ark. Imagine the first time Noah heard from God and he was saying, go build an ark. I mean, I wonder what Noah was thinking. Really? I'm going to do what? Well, I want you to build a boat. Here's what it says. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark. I love that word, in reverent fear. You could also see that as being holy or godly fear. He knew this was something greater than himself. And so in reverent fear, in holy fear, he said yes to God. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it says, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others. The word for preacher here means herald, or one who makes a proclamation. It's not an evangelist or a preacher of the good news of the gospel. He made a proclamation. That was what he was preaching. He really didn't even say anything. And it says this, By this he condemned the world. Now, how did Noah condemn the world? This is interesting. Basically, by his actions, he told the world what was coming. It was because of what Noah did that condemned the world, not because of what he said. It was because of what he did, not because of what he said. And maybe that's you. When you live a lifestyle that is pleasing to Jesus, you condemn the world. That's why some people don't like Christians at times, because there is condemnation. Now, I think you got to be very careful with this. And you don't go around and say, I condemn you for doing that. I condemn you for doing that. No. But the lifestyle in which you live, if it's glorifying to God, it condemns the world. And that's the same way that it was with Noah. Now, in our world, we don't see the effects graphically as well as happened that day, because it rained and it rained and it rained. And some may say, well, that's not fair. But I think people had a chance to believe and to choose. I'm glad for the other ones that we've talked about, of Abel and Enoch. And now we're talking about Noah. And we're going to be talking about Abraham and Sarah and Joseph and Moses and Rahab. These individuals stood alone. How important is that for us to hear? There are days when you have to stand alone, and that's okay, because you don't stand by yourself. God is with you. It's before God Almighty that you will stand alone. And if you're willing to stand alone for God, sometimes it can get pretty lonely. Some of you have experienced that. You've been like Noah, and other people have ridiculed you and mocked you. I'm assuming that happened. And yet you stand alone. You say, I need a stand for God. I wonder how many sneers and jibes and attacks that Noah had. I'm assuming many. And the Bible does not record, before Noah came, any rain prior to this time. So think of that. What are you doing, Noah? I'm building a big boat. Why are you building a big boat? Because it's going to rain. Now, what is rain exactly? Now, it may have been there, but the Bible doesn't record it. But think of building something for something that's never come. When God is in it in your life, when other people can't see it, God continues to burn it into your heart and into mine. Here's what it says at the end of this verse. He became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Who are you an heir to? A lot of us, I think, are hoping to be an heir of someone wealthy, are we not? If we're an heir of somebody wealthy, this is great. All our troubles will go away at that point in time, right? Many of us know that's not necessarily true. But we want to be an heir of something good, not something bad, don't we? We want to be an heir of something that's going to lift us up and not tear us down. We don't want to be an heir of rotten teeth, do we? Hey, I got these from my grandma. These are terrible. But we don't want to be an heir of that. We don't want to be an heir of a garbage dump. We don't want to be an heir of heart troubles. Well, I got this from everybody in my family has heart troubles. We don't want to be an heir of that. But we want to be an heir of something good. Noah, because he lived in faith and acted in faith, was an heir of righteousness. That's the kind of heir that I want to be in. Don't you want to be that as well? Actually, if you look in the Bible and you look at Genesis chapter 6 and you look at verse 9, Noah was the first one to be called righteous. Some of you were named for a relative, and some of you are supposed to act a certain way because you're supposed to live like that grandma or that grandpa or that uncle or whomever. And isn't it neat to be known for something good? Some of you have experienced this and you really didn't understand at the time. You were a younger sibling or the daughter of or an uncle of such and such person, and because of that, you were granted favor because of that relative. Noah, because of his actions, was an heir of righteousness, but it was because of what he believed and he did. Listen to this quote. Noah's faith exhibits the greatest example of witness of God that the world has ever seen. People look for results, and unless we are able to show some or to make up some report, our work is considered on all hands as a failure. But we have nothing whatever to do with results. What we have to do with is our faithfulness. The master does not always explain what his servant is to do or what ends are to be obtained. He need not make known why he wishes this or that to be done. He simply gives us his command, and it is for the servant to obey. Noah was given a task. And the task was to go build a boat. Again, he didn't have a hardware store to go down and say, I'd like to have the boat-sized version, please. He went and he started falling trees. He didn't have a chainsaw. He didn't have all the materials. And it took him 100 years. Some of us in this room think we've been battling through something for a long time. 100 years. Grace is 98. 98? 98. He continued to work. And he was called an heir of righteousness. I ask you today, what is God calling you to? What is something burning in your heart that you just can't get away from? Something that just continues to be there, and maybe you're doing it right now, and maybe you continue to pound away and you're like, oh, I missed that one. Oh, well, get back in and keep going on it. We don't know where God is going to take you with all of that. You don't know where God is going to take you. Find the thing that is unseen and trust in God and Almighty. By faith, Noah did this. He was warned, and he said, I'm going to do that. And through God's strength, he enabled him to build an ark. And as a reminder, we remember that because when it rains, sometimes we see this thing that's in the sky. It's called a rainbow. And he gave a promise, I'm never going to flood the earth again. And that rainbow serves as a reminder. You have a rainbow reminder today, if you will. God is faithful, and he will continue to bring you to his side. And yet, when other people say, what are you doing? You say, I'm working for God Almighty. Would you stand with me today? I want to pray for you as we close in our service. Lord Jesus, I thank you for everyone that's gathered to worship you today in this building. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, and thank you for letting us know about Noah, that though he was just a man, he did a mighty thing, constructing an ark like no one had done before. You gave him vision way beyond what he could ever see. Thank you for giving him details. We read about those details in Genesis of the boat and how you wanted him to go about that. Thank you for him standing alone when others would make fun, when others would tear him down, and yet he continued to do as you had asked him. Thank you for him being an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Lord Jesus, I pray for each person in this room. I believe that they're here on purpose today. And I believe that there's some God-sized task in front of each person. Something that you continue to burn in their heart and their life. Something beyond just the mundane of the usual that they go through. Something beyond just getting up and eating and working and then going to bed. There's something greater. So Lord, I pray that they would be heirs of righteousness of yours. Each person here, I pray that you would call them and they would hear clearly what you have for them. And though others can't see it, they would continue to be able to see it because you have placed it in their vision and their mind. And may they walk in faithfulness to you. I pray, Lord Jesus, that each of us would by faith trust in you and become the heirs of righteousness that only comes by faith. Thank you, God, for your love for us. And I pray that as we go from this place this week, that you continue to bolster us, continue to encourage us, and give us your strength. Now, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path wherever we go this week. We love you, and we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.